we take a look at a new performance celebrating conservationist John Muir. It's called John Muir, University of the Wilderness. It combines his writings with live music. Here's a taste of focusing on white water lilies.
On our way home, we gathered grand bouquets of them to be kept fresh all the week. No flower was hailed with greater wonder and admiration by the European settlers in general, Scotch, English, and Irish, than this white water lily. It is a magnificent plant, queen of the inland waters, pure white, 3 or 4 inches in diameter, the most beautiful, sumptuous, and deliciously fragrant of all our Wisconsin flowers.
Ed Willett is here to talk with us about John Muir, University of the Wilderness. He's a cellist and a founding member of Chance, the group behind the show. Ed, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here. I listen to you all the time.
Wonderful. Well, for those who don't know, who was John Muir?
He was, he was born in 1838 and died in 1914. Obviously, this is a centennial show, and he was arguably America's most famous and influential naturalist and conservationist. Some people credit him with being the father of the modern conservation movement, and he was also the founder or co-founder of the Sierra Club.
And what's his connection to us here in Wisconsin?
Well, when he was just before his 11th birthday, they emigrated from Dunbar, Scotland, and they ended up in Marquette County. So his family had a homestead there, and that actual site is still preserved, and lots of people work on that here in Wisconsin. So a lot of people feel that he got a sense for his kinship with animals and his sense of studying flowers and the things that people know about him from his time here, you know, between the ages of 11 and when he left. At 23, he was at the University of Wisconsin. So that's another huge connection with us here.
What is the story behind John Muir, University of the Wilderness? How did you decide to write it?
Well, you know, I grew up about 20 miles from Portage. So I grew up in my family's household. There were Muir books, and my dad was he considered himself a naturalist, and he had a lot of the same interests as John Muir. And I didn't find out until later that both my mom and dad were kind of devotees of Muir, and a lot of things that I grew up thinking were normal, like my dad was inventing things to solve problems around the house, you know, little pulleys here and drawers that, you know, odd things. And he got a lot of this from his study of Muir. So it was sort of in the fabric of me. And then I had written a lot of music that tried to relay experiences that I had in natural places. And so I started seeing this correlation between his writings, and particularly the writings of my musical partner and wife, Cheryl Leah. She's the librettist for a lot of the work that we do together. And so I started seeing this correlation between the writings, and I thought, well, this would be a way in the centennial year to, you know, add to the celebration of it. And then after we tour it further, we can keep this fire burning and keep people thinking about Muir and what he said.
So as a creative process, what's it like to try to craft music to go on, you know, go along with the words of this legendary conservationist?
Yeah, it was daunting, as you would expect. I mean, he wrote 10 books and 300 articles. So the first part of the process was just amassing excerpts. I think we had about from maybe 6 of his books and, I don't know, 30 of his articles. We got down to about 90 pages, and then we looked for things that we felt that we understood well, so that we could find the seminal ideas that were in there, at least the way we understood them, and then match them with music of ours and ideas of ours, that so there was a correlation. I mean, the idea is that our music is commenting on or reflecting or foreshadowing something that's coming next. So it's this interweaving. It's almost as if the words performed by our actor Tom Mitchell he's another instrument in a chamber ensemble was the idea. So
now we heard a speaker in that first selection, but you also have singing, and there's some in this performance of a verse about roses.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
all the winged things danced on the breeze, sang from castles and trees. There were marble nymphs that bathed in the dew. All the winged things danced on the breeze. All the winged things danced on the breeze. Cardinals sang from castles and trees. Cardinals sang from castles and trees. All the winged things danced on the breeze. Roses in the hollow, roses in the hollow, roses in the hollow, roses in the hollow.
And Roses in the Hollow there, and some different genres going on there. You've got your classical music strand and definitely some Celtic or Scottish influence there. How did you decide to fuse those styles?
Well, you know, I went to school out in Los Angeles at a conservatory to study classical music, and that's where I got my training. But soon after I got, I think it was my second orchestra job, I decided to turn to composition. And in Los Angeles at that time, there were a lot of experimental groups, which is actually where I met Cheryl, my wife. And so I started fusing things with classical music right off the bat. And I've been down the road of many genres, just seeing how would you write funk music for a chamber orchestra, things like that. Those kinds of experiments are things I like to do. And then, you know, through the years, I started getting into my genealogy, as many of us do, and I have Scottish background, and my wife has Celtic background as well. So we thought, when we came up with this idea, we thought, well, this is a good vehicle for a fusion of Celtic influence and a little bit of new music sometimes, you know, contemporary music. Sometimes it's a little more esoteric, and sometimes it's like a straight-ahead, I don't know, Kaylee band or, you know, just jigs and reels. So,
in that clip we just heard, there's like a natural rhythm to the words you had chosen. Some writers, when you read them out loud, you feel that. Did Muir's writing sing? Did it really lend itself to the rhythm of the music you were doing?
Yeah, it really did. You know, when I set Cheryl's lyrics to music, I always start by trying to find the inherent rhythm that's in them, and you know, so that you're going with the flow, you're not going against the current. And with Muir, it's very easy to see his the landscape of his words, the peaks and valleys, you know, and the rhythms, and he was very much used those ways of writing. So I find it's easy to find the rhythm in there and the landscape, and I just try to accentuate that or help make it, amplify it, is actually what I think about.
You've got the text there from the words of John Muir. Is there a sense that you want audiences to get as well about who this man was, sort of more the overall spirit of him?
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever any of us take on a project like that, we're trying to find what fascinates us, because without that, we can't bring the audience in on it. And what I loved about getting further into him was to get into what an adventurer he was and how many risks he took. And you know, when you study his early life, it was very austere, and he grew up hungry, literally hungry. And you think about a rough childhood and how that enables someone later in his life to make the 1,000-mile walk that he did to the Gulf of Mexico, or to live in the mountains for months at a time. You know, I think it was really interesting to find the formative things and how they how he was a product of them later, and that was kind of a fascination, and I thought that was something that I hadn't really encountered in other presentations. I haven't seen them all, obviously, but that was what fascinated me. He was just had a breadth of character that is hard to encapsulate, and if you just read it, it becomes a little bit to me a little bit brittle, and if you add music to it sometimes, if you make a good match, you can accentuate those things and get people an emotional response, you know?
Ed, before I let you go, can you briefly mention your next performance in Wisconsin?
Yes. On November 15th, we'll be at the Cedarburg Cultural Center, and November 16th, we'll be at this really cool little cafe called Cafe Carp in Fort Atkinson. And then the last one of this, the 10th one on this tour, is November 22nd at the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland, Wisconsin.
Ed, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Ed Willett, cellist and founding member of Chance.